It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning, Martin. Now, there's a new Chamber of Mines president this week who has declared South Africa to be in the midst of a national skills crisis.
Yes, the new Chamber of Mines president, Sipho Nkosi, has said that we must put a very big spotlight on our skills, and he has declared this a national crisis. And of course, Sipho Nkosi is also big. He's head of the biggest coal-producing company in South Africa, Exxaro. It's also the biggest black-controlled company in South Africa. And he says the problems are real. People are emigrating. It has got so bad that a Canadian company even put a stall right outside the gate of their flagship coal mine, Grote Geluk, and was actually recruiting their staff in front of their very eyes. We've seen Sunday newspapers of people queuing up to go to Australian expos. We've even seen a feature on immigration. This is hammering South Africa's mining industry and also our whole economy. And Sipho Nkosi is wanting to put a very big spotlight on, and he's wanting action because he says the time for talk is over. And there is a time now to start linking the dots that we haven't been doing and coordinating, because we see that we can dip into our big talent pool. And I'm calling it a talent pool. We have many people unemployed in South Africa. That is our talent. We have to turn that talent into skill. And we need to see how it has been done in other countries. And we saw how China could convert 80,000 people in a very coordinated scheme into skilled people. They brought in 3,000 professors from outside, and they put these technical skills into people in six-week blocks, and over a three-year period they produced 80,000 skilled people. And that's what we need to do in South Africa, because we have a mining boom but we don't have the skills.
Metals mined in the Democratic Republic of Congo in the spotlight?
Yes, we're talking about blood metals here. We've known about blood diamonds. We've even seen a film on blood diamonds, and we've seen that the diamond industry has come in and stamped that out with the Kimberley process. Now we have a similar need in the Congo, and the Germans are stepping in firmly to stop blood metals, and in particular, blood coltan. Now, coltan, it's the columbite and tantalite rare metal coltan that we find in the chips of our cell phones, in our iPods. But these can be the cause of death and destruction because of the patchwork of war zones that still exist in the northeast Congo. And the Germans have come in and they've said, we now need to certify coltan in the same way as we've certified diamonds, to ensure that people with ill intentions do not get their hands on this metal. So they moved into the Democratic Republic of Congo this week and started doing their recce in order to ensure that we have clean metals, particularly clean coltan, coming out of the DRC.
Namibia has a new status.
Yes, well, we're talking about Namibia stamping itself as South Africa's uranium mecca. It now has five uranium companies listed on the Namibian Stock Exchange with a market cap of nearly 8 billion Namibian dollars in this trillion dollar stock exchange, particularly the development exchange. And these are coming in at a fairly early stage, a lot of them at an exploration stage. But it is giving the people in Namibia an opportunity to buy in now at the right level, because we know that uranium has got an incredible future because of the nuclear power demand. We know that even South Africa is looking at many more nuclear power stations besides its Kuberg. They're talking about using 10 times more uranium. And right on our doorstep now, we've got Namibia, which is stamping itself as the uranium mecca, and very justifiably so. We saw the Australians going in where South Africans were fast asleep and getting up assets, particularly Paladin, which has secured the old Lange Heinrich mine there at next to nothing. It got it for nothing, and it's now developing uranium there. And now this week, Bannerman of Australia becoming the fifth company to list its company on the Namibian Stock Exchange as a uranium exploration play. In South Africa, we haven't had such good fortune. We've seen that Anglo Gold Ashanti, supplier of uranium, has had to declare force majeure. We've seen Uranium One shares plummet after they had mining problems at the Dominion mine. But in Namibia, far more stability and stamping itself well on the uranium front.
Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, thank you as always for joining us. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday.